This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, help us to respond to your call like Mary and Joseph. Help us to respond like the author of Hebrews today calls us to, so that we might say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." Amen. Good morning. I've gotten into a habit, since I'm still not going back to the gym and doing the gym at our house, that I would normally be listening to morning prayer at the gym while I'm working out, but instead now, I tend to do it in the car as I'm driving to the church in the morning. You just have to make sure when you do that, you don't try to do this. You got to keep your hands on the wheel. But I was listening this past week to one of the Psalms that was appointed, I believe it was Wednesday, and it was a part of Psalm 119 that we don't hear very often. And the phrase that just stuck with me is this, verse 50. Of Psalm 119. "This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life." This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life. It is that promise that perhaps is that which enabled Mary, enabled Joseph, enabled so many people throughout the scriptures to continue to hang in there. That word comfort, meaning with strength, to have strength to carry on. And this story, as we approach the birth of Jesus, calls us to think about those characters who were given that strength and responded in such a way. You know, part of the story, when Gabriel appeared to Mary, she says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" when she's with Elizabeth, and saying the same thing throughout this story. It's, if we put it into modern terms, when things happen to us that sort of aren't the plan that we had for our life, "God, why is this happening to me?" And there are a lot of things that we could be tempted to change that to say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" And yet, that's not how God works. That when things do happen, it is God who wants to be there to give us the comfort to get through it. But there are also times when we are going to have to take that comfort, that strength, to respond to the call that God does give to us. And this particular story is one of those. Now, he's not even mentioned in the gospel today, but he's our patron saint, and I think Joseph needs a little equal time here. Because this would not have happened if Joseph had not been willing to do what Joseph was willing to do. His whole world was turned upside down by two words, Mary saying, "I'm pregnant." All Joseph had at that moment was an outlandish claim that his betrothed had made. Perhaps he thought that she was unfaithful. But still, even in the midst of all that, he wants to protect her. It's remarkable that Joseph chose not to expose Mary. But he continues to do what Joseph does silently behind the scenes. And we come to this situation with Mary. Now, it's easy for us to say, yeah, Mary said yes, but there is nothing in any of the scriptures that precede this or come after it that say, Mary, would you like to be the mother of Jesus? No, you will conceive and bear a son. The whole thing about Mary's response is her willingness to accept what God is asking of her. It's not to say yes or no. It's going to happen. So much in our own lives are that way. Life is hard, but God is good. And if there's any takeaway today, perhaps that's it for us. Yeah, it's difficult. We do hit bumps. We do hit mountains. We do hit bumps that becomes mountains and become bumps and now look like they might become mountains again. Life is hard, but God is good. I want to talk a little bit today about the realistic strength that Mary had to have to do what Mary did. In the gospel today, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Can we put up that first slide that's the map? Mary is in Nazareth. You see it circled at the top of this little map of the Holy Land. We apologize too, we blew a bulb on the other projector, so if we have any tall people here in the congregation, there's one in the back. We might need your help after the service today. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And all of the archaeology and everything that they've done make it clear that the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and hence where John the Baptist was born, is a place called Ein Kerem. Now, those of you who have gone to the Holy Land, those of you who went with us in 2015, will remember we went there. You know how far that is from Nazareth to Ein Kerem? 80 miles. 80 miles. And there wasn't a subway. There wasn't an Uber. For the most part, Mary probably walked it. Can you imagine that in her pregnant state? We go to the next slide. Oop. There we go. Now, the archaeologists tell us that probably because of the extreme heat in the summertime, that Elizabeth and Zechariah had two houses. One's in the valley. And then when it gets hot in the summer, you go up to the one that is up high on top of the mountain. That's the one where they would have been when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. So you see these pilgrims, don't they look happy? Because what they're looking at is the hill that they have to climb after what was already a long day up to where this shrine is. So we go to the next slide. And you see now, this is a mosaic that is in the Church of the Visitation that's up there. And it is a little bit of a dream scene, a fantasy, shall we say, as if the angels had created this donkey for Mary to ride on for the 80 miles. And you see the angels hovering overhead like a flyover. But chances are it wasn't that romantic. Next slide. There's a beautiful sculpture there, and we see Mary and Elizabeth doing a little baby bump there, greeting each other. We go to the next slide. We see a close-up, and the Magnificat is written on those plaques that line all of the exterior walls in all sorts of different languages. I believe there's about 50 different languages they have there. Next one. You see the side view of them chatting. We go to the next slide. Now, this was a very special moment for me. We had finished our tour. with our tour guide, Ramon, and we had gone to the church. We had had a prayer service there, and we came out, and I had on my phone that version of the Magnificat that my daughter Demery just sang with me. And we sat there at that site, and we listened to that recording. Special moment. Next one. What goes up must come down. You have to walk down all of those stairs. Which brings me to the next point. The scriptures tell us that Mary remained with Elizabeth for 3 months, but guess what she did then? She walked home 80 miles. Now she's 3 months more pregnant when she walks home. Next slide. Can you go back? Is it possible to go back to the map? Think of all the walking that she has done. Now fast forward the story of the nativity. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Do you see where Bethlehem is on the map? It's right to the right of Ein Kerem, where John the Baptist's house was. Now, we don't hear this in the scriptures, but can you imagine this? Mary has walked 80 miles, stays there 3 months, walks 80 miles back. Now she's 9 months pregnant. She's ready to give birth. And Joseph says, what? We're going to do it again. It is amazing the practical stress that this whole saying yes would have had for Mary. The psychological stress for Joseph, yes. The commitment for Joseph, yes. But for Mary, not only that willingness, but the physical strength it would have taken. I am just amazed when I think about the real, real situation that they faced and went through. Mary is with Elizabeth for that time. And the question is, did Mary go to Elizabeth to get comfort from Elizabeth? Or did Mary go to Elizabeth to give comfort to her? Well, I think that sculpture that we looked at, as well as what we see in the scriptures, that it was a mutual giving of comfort and strength. And it brings me to just a practical point for us. We really need each other. We're all doing the best that we can. And the strength that we draw from one another is just that that will enable us to pull through. This is my comfort in my distress, as that psalm said, that your promise gives me life. We're called to give that life to each other. My friend John Claypool, in relation to Mary and Joseph's response, uses the example of Robert's Rules of Order. That somebody makes a motion, and you can't even discuss that motion unless somebody is willing to second the motion. In John's words, Mary and Joseph seconded the motion and took it from there. So may we do the same. And to end with St. Augustine's great words, without God, we humans cannot. But without us, God will not. May we continue to say yes. Amen.